It is Saturday, April 8th, 2006, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Today, after Geek News, we will talk about technology-based summer camps.
Geek Speak is a production of KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, kusp.org. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
Sit back and enjoy. It's time for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today, Karen Thurm-Safran, Vice President of Marketing for ID Tech Camps, will join us in a few minutes about ID Tech Camps' summer programs for geeks. Well, junior geeks, that is. Kids. During the second half of the show, I'll welcome you to join our conversation. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. You can contact us now by going to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. This is Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. In the Arum with me, the geeks this morning are Miles Elam, Chris Dumphy, and Sean Cleveland. Chris, it's been quite a while. Welcome.
It's good to be back in the Geek Speak studio.
Last time we saw you, just lost a job at some software company. It's not important. Yeah. We won't give them a plug. and since then, you've been kind of reshaping your life a little bit, and I think the first geek story will be yours.
Well, I'm setting my life to... Actually, I'm in the process of going truly mobile. I've been the mobile geek for a while, and now I'm going to live the mobile life. I've got a really cool, tiny little camper that I'm going to be towing around, and traveling as far north as Alaska, down to Baja, to Colorado, and everywhere else I am drawn to.
Hmm. Well, I just forgot. I didn't read something, and I want to do that. I want to talk about Henry Ramirez. So Geek Speak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation and offering one-appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. And if I got to connect this somehow. So what are you going to be doing about like healthcare, dentistry, things like that?
Oh, I've taken care of my physical and dentistry and stuff. I've got insurance, and every time I swing back through San Francisco, I got a doctor here. This is still base camp,
or this area is okay.
Base camp.
All right. So, going down to Baja, how long are you going to be doing that trip?
Well, I'm going to be on the road at least until Burning Man this year, uh-huh. And then after that, I'll either decide to continue road tripping in the camper, or I will go backpacking internationally.
You're going to burn a man this year?
I will burn a man this year, as I have many years in the past.
Chris, you brought it up. What's Burning Man?
Oh, what's Burning Man?
Hey, you know, some people don't know.
Burning Man is a city that gets built in the desert every year, and then there's a big man, and they burn it down. It's basically...
A city in the desert every year.
Yeah, for 1 week in the... It's Memorial Day, Labor Day, in the summer. There's a huge festival in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada. About 40,000 people show up and spend a week building a city. And
people spend all year building stuff they bring to that
city. Building art projects, yes. Mm-hmm. Building art projects. The way I describe Burning Man is never before in the history of humanity has so much creative energy been brought together in such a small space over such a tiny duration of time. It's everybody there is creating something, and it's like one huge art, music, festival.
Extravaganza.
You don't go, there's no stage. You go and you create something and then show
everybody's
it off to everybody
a part
else.
Of it, yeah.
Right. So it's amazing.
So you're going to culminate this trip, at least, with...
First phase ends in Burning Man.
All right. You have been quite a while our mobile geek because you're an expert on mobile technology. You've been... Your work since Boot Mag or Maximum PC Magazine, I can't remember when you left that magazine, has been focused around portable devices, phones, PDAs, and the like. Have you heard of the hipster PDA?
The
hipster PDA. So...
You mean the hip top or something different?
No. The hipster PDA, I'm holding one in front of me. Go ahead and describe. You want to describe it?
Yeah, it's a stack of index cards that Lyle's carrying around. It's dirt cheap.
You clip them with a little paper clip, you know, one of those squeezy paper clips, and you write notes on them, and it's really, really convenient. Mm-hmm. It's not electrical.
You can use crayons and have an art project.
You can.
You
kind of organize your to-do lists and tasks, and I've been using it for a week, and I love it, and it beats like a palm, I got to say.
Well, and in some ways it does.
That's heresy. Come on.
It's kind of hard to back up unless you photocopy every so often.
That's right. And really, it's just the portable aspect. When I'm at my laptop, I take a lot of this information and put it into my laptop system. It's interesting. In any case, the thing that I want to make note about is that you've been a mobile geek expert for a long time, and now you actually are officially a mobile geek. So
I'm going to be decking out with solar power and fully geeking out the trailer as I go along.
Good. Well, you'll have to be documenting it.
I will.
As well. And you're going to come through Santa Cruz quite a bit?
I will. And we'll have to get my profile on the GeekSpeak page linking to the page with all my travel pictures and stories.
That later today. That's perfect. Mr. Elam Miles, hi. I'll go to you for the next news story.
Good morning. Bifocals, something that a lot of folks know about, especially when they get older, you come up with things like presbyopia, you have nearsightedness, but in order to read something very close to you, you have to have a second lens in your lens to be able to see closely. There's a company called Pixel Optics that's working on a set of glasses that, when you put an electrical charge to it, it changes a thin film of,
a lens?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, yes. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the exact name, but I've lost it. But it's only 5 microns thick, and it basically it's basically a Fresnel lens.
Okay.
And for those who don't know what a Fresnel lens is, think of a normal lens with a curved piece of glass, and then flatten it. I know that sounds really odd to say.
You kind of like make concentric rings around the lens, cutting it, and then you just kind of squish it together.
Yeah, if you've ever had one of those.
You still have those angles, but they kind of... Lighthouse lenses, the ones that look really neat, those are Fresnel lenses.
Right.
And typically, they're not very good optically for looking through. It's really good for focusing light easily. It's not
blurred, but at the same time, if you're making those concentric circles smaller and smaller, then you end up with less distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're working on with this, that you have the same set of glasses, you flick a switch, and it changes the focus. Or changes the field of vision. And the point behind this is that with many people who have bifocals, they can report some dizziness because they're trying to do that refocus and they see a blurry image transposed with a clear image from that small lens within the lens.
So what you're saying is now you go down and you, instead of putting on a second pair of glasses, which is kind of a pain, instead you just go, okay, now I'm going to be reading for a while, and you switch them to reading glasses.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Do you have to have a battery power to actually make them work?
The prototype is pretty clunky.
Yeah, of course.
But in the future, they're looking at them looking exactly like normal glasses, mm-hmm. being indistinguishable when you're walking around
cool.
in public.
All right, that's cool tech. Thanks, man. Well, Mr. Cleveland, we were up real late last night playing around, so are you ready?
I'm sorry, did you say something? I was sleeping. No, I'm here.
Right on.
Actually, we should probably mention Apple's new Bootcamp software.
You know, that's kind of the biggest thing that happened this week, yeah. So I'll mention if you want.
Yeah, well, take it away.
So for a long time, people have been, you know, there's the whole Mac and Windows debate, which is better, blah, blah, blah. And you can't really install Macintosh OS on anything else but a Mac, except that people are hacking into it and making it work to some degree. And people also wanted to get these new Mac Intel boxes and install Windows on it. And they got this really long, complicated hack that was able to work.
The problem is the BIOS, the software that talks to the hardware, is all new. It's called EFI. And Windows is based on the old BIOS, so there needed to be something written at, you know, very low level.
So the amazing thing is that Apple, like 3 days ago, decided to release this thing called Bootcamp, which makes it totally easy to install Windows on a Macintosh Intel.
This is after somebody won an award, though, like a $10,000 prize.
$13,000.
$13,000 prize, yes, figuring this out.
Yeah.
Somebody and then Apple, I guess, then said, well, we might as well just release it now.
Yeah, and it makes sense from Apple's perspective. I mean, Apple's into selling hardware. They've got that whole chic kind of look, and they want to sell hardware. And everything that they do in the software side is really to kind of support that and then to kind of use the user base that's using their hardware. So it does make sense to me for them to say, okay,
Even you now everyone Windows. Can own a very expensive Windows machine.
That's the other thing that's really kind of funny is that, of course, Apple doesn't want to support Windows. They don't want to deal with virus calls. They don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. And they're not even selling Windows. So what you'd have to do is you'd install this little app that changes your computer, your Intel-based Macintosh, to have a second partition, which is like segregating the hard drive. And then you put in a Windows CD, and it does the rest. But you do have to buy XP to do this. And then, of course, the next question is, do you really want to have Windows on your Mac? I mean, Miles, which operating system do you prefer?
Well, I prefer OS X, but at the same time, I am an avid Battlefield 2 game player. So if I was able to have a MacBook Pro, unfortunately, I already purchased one, but it was given to my father. If I had my own...
See, you love your parents too much, Miles.
Yeah,
that's your problem.
Then, yes, I would totally use it. I would use OS X normally and then say, okay, I want to play a game. Let me reboot and go do that.
Yeah, I love that on the boot camp, if you go to apple.com/macOSX/bootcamp, that's where the software is, and they have a little section called Word to the Wise. Windows running on a Mac is like Windows running on a PC. That means it'll be subject to the same attacks that plague the Windows world. So be sure to keep it updated with the latest Microsoft Windows security fixes.
I have to say that, you know, this boot camp on a new MacBook Pro would be the is going to be the perfect thing for being a geek in a small space.
Yeah.
Now I carry two laptops right now, a Windows and a Mac, and now I'll be able to get just one. It's awesome.
Are you going to do that?
I'm going to do that, definitely.
Your PowerBook's not an Intel?
It's not an Intel, so I need to buy a new laptop sometime this summer.
I want to mention, I don't know if you guys heard all of Dr. Dawn earlier. What a wonderful program. It's on every week before us at 9 o'clock on Saturdays, and she does a whole hour from the hip by herself on just everything medical. She's amazing. So today I decided to go in and ask about my diet, and so we had a little chat about my diet. It was nice and central focused on Lyle. But in any case, she's just wonderful, amazing. I really recommend listening to it. And just to let you know, KSP is growing to provide better access to all the shows we do. We have podcasts and on-demand audio archives available for Talk of the Bay, Geek Speak, Utopia, Live at Lunch, and of course, Dr. Dawn, which is why I'm mentioning it. You can go up there and listen to all the shows that you want forever and ever. And you don't have to download them to your like little portable device if you don't have one. You can just listen to them through your browser. In case, just wanted to mention that. I do now want to go on with Karen, unless there's another geek thing we've got to get to for news.
No.
All right.
There's a lot of little stuff.
Yeah, well, why don't you do one?
So, Blu-ray got... pushed forward again, so you're not going to see drives and devices with.
That's the new DVD art.
Blu-ray,
one of the new
DVD, which is it's competitor to HD DVD. Blu-ray is going to be in the PlayStation 3. Looks like it's not going to be May. It's going to be late June.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are coming out with digital ink. Sony e-reader as now available at Borders. So
really,
that's a big shot in the arm for them. And Bloomsbury, the publisher of Harry Potter, has now released 24 downloads of their books. So the smaller publishers are getting involved. Everybody seems to think this is...
Are they doing digital rights management on it? I would assume they'd have to, right? Because if not, you'd...
Yeah, it's probably something we should have a show
dedicated.
Because
right.
Everyone's got their own type of software to protect their books. And it'd be good to know what supports what.
Right, of course. Thank you, geeks, thank you very much for doing this. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning, we started with Chris Dunphy and his road trip. Miles Elam's in the house, as he is almost every week. And Mr. Cleveland, tired as I am, is here as well. Thank you all, geeks.
We were up geeking late last night.
Big time.
Lyle was showing me sites I'd never even heard of before. We could have a whole show.
We should talk about Web 2.0.
Just on your bookmarks.
So much stuff, yeah. I think we should. Any case, now... Karen Thurm Safran is Vice President of Marketing for ID Tech Camps. She joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Karen.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Karen, you were telling me that this is your first radio experience, even though you've been on CNN. So you're kind of trumping us.
There you go.
So ID Tech Camps is an 8-year-old organization that takes kids in the summer for a week-long process, either overnight or you can pick them up at 5 if you don't want to lose your kids for that long, and focuses around technology, right?
Exactly. The whole premise is to make learning fun, and to make learning fun without kids actually realizing that they're learning.
And that's the trick, isn't
that's
it?
That's the trick. That's the trick. And I know I'm a parent myself, and so I can talk firsthand here that there's nothing like having your child come home with that spark in their eye from learning and being inspired, and even taking something like a passion that's maybe video games and turning it into something that's more, and making a video game during this camp and realizing that, gosh, games are more than just playing, and being critical and saying, gosh, how come there aren't more levels, or how come this character doesn't have more depth, or the game doesn't go into more detail? And all of a sudden they take something that they had a passion, and they become more critical, and they also realize, my goodness, I can make a career out of this.
Mm-hmm. So the camp, it's like a normal traditional summer camp, like you would for going and backpacking and stuff, but instead they sit at computers and don't do any activity all day?
Not quite. So they do sit at the computers, or if it's a filmmaking course, they're out running about, supervised, taking pictures, you know, videos. But they are in the labs, in the computer labs at a university, so they're also exposed to a secondary university, a very prestigious one. But we do get them out playing, and they are out on the soccer field. They're running around doing different types of activities with the instructors. They're out in the cafeteria experiencing the university, like UC Santa Cruz or Stanford University.
You actually find UCSC or you find universities that will host you for a certain summer. You make up sessions and stuff, but you don't publish those to anybody but the parents and the kids, so that it's a little bit of a privacy regarding that.
Well,
but you get into top-notch universities. You just mentioned UCSC, which is actually where I work, and Stanford. So are they in the dorm situation then?
Yes, they are, and we do publish the universities. We're at 40 universities nationwide in 19 states and Spain, but we don't tell you like exactly where it is at UC Santa Cruz security reasons.
Yeah.
We're very
place.
Careful.
So the one thing that kind of got me is on your brochures and stuff, there's pictures of surfing, and I'm thinking, that's not very technical. So what's the surfing thing about?
What's that about, huh?
You're in Santa Cruz, so you got to do that?
Is that
a rule?
That's right. Well, it's very unique. We try to think out of the box and come up with very interesting programs, and also to get kids interested in technology who may not be interested. So we have a surf and tech program that we started at Pepperdine a couple years ago, and we're very pleased to have brought it to UC Santa Cruz, and this is our third year at UC Santa Cruz with Surf and Tech. We have a sports and tech program at Stanford, which is Stanford Athletics. And the premise behind it is that you take our program and we modify it. So half the day, the kids are, for UC Santa Cruz, the Surf and Tech, they're out surfing. They're either surfing in the morning or they're surfing in the afternoon. Then the other half, they're either making a video game or a website with flash animation.
So you do trick them, don't you?
We do. By choice, or their parents sign them up.
Yeah. So this program, the overnight thing, seems like it's kind of intense. What's the age range that you do? I mean, I've got a four-year-old, you know, so I'm not going to send them off to somebody.
Not quite.
So what's your age range?
The ages, we get them young, from 7 years old up to 17. So it's kids and teens. And the Surf and Tech program, Lyle, is 11 to 17.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what are the classes like? Besides, like, doing a website, they spend a week doing their own website? Is that the kind of thing they do?
Correct. It depends on the program, whether they work individually or they work collaboratively as a group. So it's kind of like a Chinese menu. They figure out which university they want to go to, and if they're in the Bay Area, if they want local, they could go to Stanford, they could go to UC Santa Cruz, Santa Clara University, Berkeley. If they want to go further away, then go to Princeton,
Georgetown. So you're saying someone in California, the 14 or 15-year-old kid who's kind of still thinking about college, can go, I'm interested in this area of the country, and go do tech camps there.
Absolutely. Great point. When I was visiting Princeton University last year, I met this kid, this teenager, whose parents actually, lucky boy, sent him all over the country going to ID tech camps and visiting different schools to see where he wanted to apply for college.
Sounds nice.
Yes.
All right, so tell us how the ID Tech camp started.
Great. So how it started, and also I realized I didn't really answer your question, so to answer very quickly, is so they figure out which kind of course they want. So they may say, I want to make a movie, and they'll take a digital video editing course.
And that's a specific location?
There are core courses that are every single location. So either website creation with flash animation, with DV, where they actually use like Final Cut Pro and Canon cameras, programming and robotics, or video game creation. And there are a couple different video game creation courses.
Very cool. All right, so starting the company, 8 years old, how did it start?
Very interesting. It was started actually by someone, Alexa Ingram Kelchi, who I very much admire. She went to Los Gatos High School with her brother Pete. And she went to the University of Washington, and it was her thesis for undergrad school. She thought it was interesting to see if there was a need for hands-on summer technology camps that were very different than schools. And not to put down schools, please. It's a very different learning. It's project-based and it's hands-on and it's small, like pod settings, where there's an average of only 6 students per instructor, and they're young, mostly, you know, or very people who are absorbed into the field or getting their degree. Every child has his or her computer, so it's very different than school. So she did this research study, and what she found is indeed there really was a need. So lo and behold, she decided to start this company, and it's just been going gangbusters. It's huge. This year we are expecting Guess how many kids?
22. Oh.
22 kids. 14,000 kids. Actually, wow. More than 14,000 kids will be going through our program. Last year, it was over 11,000. So each year, even with a poor economy and everything going on overseas, people getting laid off, people will spend money for their kids to really have them be creative and make learning fun.
It's like kids are interesting and important or something. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's true. I hope my kids are listening.
One thing Miles Elam, sitting over to your left, he's an amazing programmer, but he doesn't like to program. And he's a really amazing trainer. He does technical training for a living in his
And I
personal.
Do like to train.
You do like to train. And his ambition is to be a high school English teacher, which I can't understand, but support fully because I love him. So could someone like Miles here as a really strong technical skills and wants to do teaching, could he be a teacher of yours?
Great question, Lyle. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, you should go to our website, which is www.internaldrive, which is what the ID stands for, because everybody has an internal drive within them. So it's www.internaldrive.
That's like a double thing, you know, like it's, yeah, okay, go on. So you can also, you can get to their site by going to geekspeak.org and get to it from there, and a whole write-up about the company a little bit. And where is it once you're there for applying, you know, because we have a lot of geeks that listen. And
absolutely, and, you know, people who aren't even considered geeks go to our camp, too, so it's not just limiting to a certain subset.
Sure.
So it's go to internaldrive.com and choose on the left-hand bar our staff and then the employment page. And we hire about 500 instructors every year. We already have a bunch, but there are some positions available in the Bay Area, especially all over the country. And the beauty is that if you want to try out a different university or different location, you just give your recommendation and we do our best. And we look for people who have experience in certain areas, who are getting degrees or getting graduate degrees.
You got to get viable people. You don't
right. Viable people, for sure. But it's a wonderful experience, and especially for kids in college or just out of school, it's great for their resume.
Okay, so what does, you know, most summer camps, it's like a soccer camp, and they go and
right.
do soccer for 2 weeks or whatever. What
soccer
and then
for
afterwards, they have a good time, you know, and they definitely got an exercise. They make some really great friends and all of that. And then when they come back to their life, they might bring a little bit of that enjoyment and such, but I don't know how much it changes their life. What are you seeing the outcome of this program?
Do they get a little taste of university life so that they can maybe have a better chance to go there?
They
you know,
do.
It becomes more real for them, maybe?
They do. I'm really glad you asked. And I speak to a lot of parents and a lot of kids, and it's amazing. These kids, they really look at learning a different way. Their minds get stimulated. They realize that they can, like I said, how I started this whole thing, they realize that, gosh, you know, I'm an addict for video games, and I can turn this into a profession. My instructor's actually getting a degree in this. I didn't know I could. You know, I could tell my parents, hey, I'm practicing to become rich one day. And it does stimulate them to go on to education. We just did an article this year where some of these kids actually become entrepreneurs. There's this wonderful kid who I have to plug. His name is Julian in San Francisco. He's a 9 or 10-year-old boy who took our video game creation course last year. He's actually going to be in EGM magazine this upcoming issue. And he made a video game, and he used our ClickTeam Multimedia Fusion. He said, gosh, this is cool. So after the summer, he kept doing this. So instead of, like, watching TV and doing other things, he finished his game. He made another game. Then he hired his 8-year-old sister to sell the game, and then expanded and hired her friend. And he now has a business as a 10-year-old selling video games.
Very cool.
So very
so
cool.
It can change your life.
Yeah, we actually have kids whose parents hire them to do their website, and they figure, you know, this is a really good cheap alternative to hiring some professional. They send their kid to the camp. They learn website with flash animation and all this cool stuff, Adobe Photoshop, and they come back and they hire them to do their website. We've had kids like that all over the country.
Sure.
So,
I mean,
yes, to answer your questions.
People contact us geeks all the time and say, do you know anybody that can do a website for them? And
yeah,
they're like, you know, we're overburdened. We can't do it. I go, what you need to do is find a high school kid, you know, someone at that
right.
age that's done some of that work and hire them because they're excited about everything they're doing. They're going to learn a whole bunch about your business and therefore business or whatever you're doing.
Right.
Buy it. It's a great intern type of thing. And everybody needs a website because, you know, if you're not online, you don't exist, as I once said. And I want to say that the other thing that's really interesting about the camp course is that you're getting people together that they wouldn't necessarily meet. So people with the same interests,
that's
kids getting
true.
Together, and that can stay with them for quite a while.
Yes,
as well.
And the kids are so diverse. You know, I know this is geek speak, but there are geeks, there are non-geeks. weeks, there are girls and boys, and we'd like to have more girls, but there are lots of kids who come to this camp. There are kids who are gifted and talented who are now with kids like them. There are kids who have never been motivated to do well in school who all of a sudden I've heard from parents and I talk to them that they come home, they rush through their homework so they continue working on their project. And some kids also integrate what they've learned into their school projects. So, for instance, there's someone who she used the PhotoFlex green screen, which is a Watsonville Santa Cruz company, and she actually did a story about Argentina and was studying it and did a fake news broadcast and used and made a movie, which she learned from ID Tech camps, and handed that in. So her now her report became three-dimensional and
That's
a
great.
Lot more learning.
And maybe passed.
There you go. went to college, one of the ones she went to.
Karen, we're going to introduce, ask people to go ahead and call in and join our conversation, ask us questions. They'll ask questions about anything you want. You can ask questions to us. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Karen, I'd like you to stay with us because I'm sure there'll be questions for you. GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Felton, offering computer rentals, printing design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. GeekSpeak is also supported by Cruise.io Internet, offering DSL broadband, computer rentals, and tune-ups. Cruise.io has rental stores in downtown Santa Cruz and Watsonville. More information can be found online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. The Geeks this morning, you're listening to GeekSpeak. Our phone numbers, again, one more time, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. I'll give those numbers in a second, again, and slower. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KSP. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me, Chris Dunphy, longtime geek, not always here. Thanks, Chris, for being here.
Great to be here.
He is an expert on all things mobile and especially even lifestyles that are mobile now. You're welcome to call and ask him questions. Sean Cleveland is an expert on hardware, any kind of hardware. He knows the processor, the hard drive, the motherboard, RAM. If you don't know what's inside your computer, he does. You can call in about that. And he's also pretty proficient in Windows. And, of course, we have Mr. Miles Elam, who is a programmer, a lover of open source, a tech trainer, and knows a lot, probably too much, about filtering content online because that's his day job, Miles Elam. And I'm Lyle Troxell. Well, taking your calls, we also have our guest, Karen. And I'm blanking on your name. Karen
Thurm Saffron,
like the spice.
That's right.
From ID Tech Camps, summer camps for kids, for junior geeks, as we like to say. You're welcome to call in. Phone number is 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877, and we will take any question you have to ask us. We just won't necessarily answer it correctly. And we've already got calls, so we'll start jumping to them. Let's see. Yes. From Capitola, Hal, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Good morning. I had two questions. One for your guest, Karen. I was a little concerned. I mean, sounds like a great thing that she's doing. She talked about the kid that was into games and how he could go home and tell his mother that he could become rich.
Rich in the game market.
And I was wondering if the emphasis is on, you know, helping people become rich or helping people get excited about learning how to learn.
I'm so glad you asked, because that definitely was not the intention that I had. No, the intention that we have is not to go out and get rich. I was just thinking of how my kids would have turned it around here. It's the intention is making learning fun. And our tagline is hands-on tech learning. And that's what we're all about. And
cool.
It's yes, and it's really getting these kids to articulate their creativity in new and different ways and then taking it with them after camp. It doesn't just end after the week. There are tools, you know, we also work with our corporate partners to offer the software, as many as we can, at a special price so that the parents can buy these for their kids so that they can keep learning and possibly integrate these into their school projects. So, yeah,
well,
it's learning for life.
That came up when you mentioned Photoshop. I have a different question, not for those guests. I am in this eternal battle with some of the big desktop manufacturers to try to find a quiet desktop PC. Anybody got any suggestions? I work in an office without air conditioning. There's really no background noise, and noisy computers drive nuts.
You know, Hal, I think we have an answer to that. Chris made a machine that was specifically for his bedroom, and he wanted it quiet. Now, that's when you had a bedroom, Chris. Now you're homeless. So, Chris, what? This is funny. Last time you're on the show, you just lost your job, and now you're portable home. So you're like getting out of that corporate space a lot. Chris, how do you get a really quiet computer?
Well, there's a website called silentpc.com that actually reviews computers for sound and has a lot of parts reviewed of like how to build your own quiet PC or recommends manufacturers that build really quiet computers. Or actually, if you go with a Macintosh, Macintoshes tend to be really, really quiet.
Unless you get a G5.
And unless you get a G5. The big towers aren't. But Apple pays attention to the sound output. In my experience, Dell is really awful about making noisy computers.
QuietPC.com?
SilentPC.com.
Does SilentPC.com also look at Mac hardware? They just look in general?
I think they focus on the PC side of things. Macs tend to, other than the G5, the workstations tend to be pretty darn quiet.
Yeah, you want to get a correction on that URL? SilentPC is a consulting firm for silent partners.
Okay.
Miles will start looking for the URL, and we will mention it.
SilentPCReview.com.
Okay, there it is.
Okay, there's another commercial site, and I just bought what they claimed was a quiet fan to replace the case fan in my brand new IBM desktop, or Lenovo, I guess, properly. And, it's 19 dB, and it really wasn't any quieter than the one that came with the computer. What I discovered was it was mounted on the front, and I have a quieter PC, which actually is an older Dell, where the fan is mounted in the back and the front of the case is closed. And that made a little bit of difference. But what I've learned in this battle, and I've done a lot of parts switching, is that it's an awful lot about the basic design, but it also seems, of course you got your power supply fan, but with the case and the processor, does the Apple or Mac processor just give off less heat, and doesn't need a fan or doesn't need as noise?
No, that is not the case. In fact, Apples run very hot. That's the problem. That's why you're not seeing faster Macs. And they're going to Intel with dual core, that sort of thing.
So, Sean,
how do they get their cases quiet?
Sean, is this true that this is kind of a voodoo, making machines quiet? Is it kind of what it is? It's really hard? Or what's the story? Can you make a quiet computer?
Well, yeah, you just don't get the top-end parts. So instead of getting a 2.8 gigahertz processor, get something closer to 1.5, 2 gigahertz. It'll run cooler. It's plenty of power. I mean, you're not going to game on this thing probably, right?
You're not playing computer
games?
No,
I don't game.
All right, get a video card that doesn't have a fan on it. Get a motherboard that doesn't have a fan on it. And you can do this yourself really easy. You just make sure you don't get the high-end parts.
So then the next thing is, he put a new fan in the front of it, and it didn't seem to do anything. What's up with that?
Well, I put the fan on the back and kind of blocked off the front, the new fan I got. I was able to mount it.
Don't block it.
Yeah.
Don't block it. A lot of it open.
When you buy cases from OEMs, they're cutting costs. They use 80-millimeter fans, the smaller ones, which run at a higher RPM, which run louder.
No, this is 92.
See, if you get a customized case that's built for sound, they have 120-millimeter fans. They're much bigger.
Yeah.
They move more air, move slower, and they're much quieter.
Yeah. There's air noise, but there's also the mechanics of the fan itself, that's got to do with the quality of the fan.
It very much could also be the power supply. The power supply is going to be your
power supplies are very loud.
Hard
personally,
loud
I only use Antec power supplies. I find them very quiet, and they have little fan connectors specifically that detect the level of heat inside the case and adjust your fan accordingly.
Uh-huh.
You've got an AMD processor, make sure you're running with cool and quiet on. You go into the BIOS to enable that, so your CPU fan will adjust accordingly to the heat.
And one other thing, building a fanless PC is one of the key things, and if you want to have somebody build it for you, Voodoo Computers, I think their website is voodoopc.com, sells a completely fanless, very high-end computer, so you pay through the nose for it, but it's completely fanless.
Voodoo Computer?
Yeah, I think their website is Voodoo PC, and it's a completely fanless, completely silent computer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you'd have no fans specifically on the computer, you'd need some type of airflow. I mean, the heat needs to go somewhere.
In their case, it's actually a liquid cooling system.
Liquid cooling is a great way to go for quiet.
Yeah.
I was a little worried about having water inside this case.
No. Everybody is, but they've got it figured out. Hal, thank you very much for the call.
You know, Corsair came out with the new liquid cooling kit that personally I'm really excited about. So Corsair.com, check that out.
If you're excited about it, then I am as well. from Coralitos, Kate, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
My phone's a little fuzzy, so sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I have a G4 with 9.2.2 on it.
I'm sorry.
Mac G4.
Uh-huh.
And I really like it like that because I can use all my programs forever. I can't use my tax cut from last year because they don't support OS 9 anymore.
Right. So every version, every year, the version of the tax software changes and they're not going to release the old version. Yeah.
Is there any other way to
get a different tax program that does it, or an online tax program, Miles?
Right. Didi was pointing out taxact.com, which is a web-based tax preparation software.
Yeah, I have a low. I don't have a good connection. Yeah.
Well, you can try that taxact.com.
Okay.
I think you're going to see that. This year it's going to be kind of hard, and next year it'll be almost impossible, and so on and so on. So making a web alternative makes a lot of sense. The other problem, though, you'll run into is that website will, if it doesn't right now, in the future, it will want to use the most recent browsers, and you can't get the most recent browsers as well. I think the one you want to be using is Opera, because I think they still do Opera builds for OS 9.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, and it is free now, so I'd recommend Opera rather than like Internet Explorer that's on there, or an old Netscape.
Okay.
Good luck with that. It is kind of a dilemma. I think that once you did change to OS 10 after the initial frustration and battle with changing your habits, you'd enjoy yourself more.
Cool.
And you can run things in classic mode, which means you can run applications that are in OS 9 on an OS 10 machine.
What version of software in OS 10 should I get?
The most recent that they have available, OS 10 point. Whatever, four point something.
Yeah. And I can still run my old software.
You can in classic mode. It's just going to be a little different, but it'll work.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And from Santa Cruz, Bruce, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello. My question, I have an old, like a 3 or 4 year old Microsoft XP, and I've been getting into more and more photos and putting my photos on the machine, and it seems to get slower and slower. And I think we need to upgrade to another computer. And I shoot in RAW, and it seems to just slow the computer down. What kind of upgrade computer is out there for that type of
Well, you probably explain what RAW means.
The file is just so much bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
So and there's some processing involved to opening a RAW file as well. It's about the highest in type of digital photography you can get to on your computer.
Are you a Mac or Windows person? Do you care?
Well, I've got Windows here, but I'm open to suggestions. I don't know
if you're used to Windows, stay with Windows.
Yeah.
I would just recommend getting, I mean, how much do you want to spend? Like $1,000?
Probably not over 15.
Okay, yeah. You can get a really great, amazing computer for that. That's easy. Sean, where do you want to go for a new computer if you're going to buy one and not build one? I know you never do that, but where do you think? Gateway?
I would say...
It's a hard question, isn't it?
I just bought a computer from my wife's cousin, and I'm trying to remember the site we went to.
You didn't build it?
I like sites where you can configure it. You know, all the parts yourself, and then I would have a lot to say.
Don't get the top of the line. It's going to be louder.
Personally,
it's
I like Athlon 64 processor.
I would get more memory.
Let's just stick with the parts.
All right.
Get at least a gig of memory. Get the largest hard drive you can possibly get, because RAW files are, you know, they'll just keep taking up space, and you'll never want to get rid of them. So I would go with, you know, a 400 or 500 gig hard drive. A gig of memory, like I said, a decent video card, something modern. Don't get an integrated video solution. You can save a lot of money that way, but then you'll be sharing that your video chip will need to use system memory, which takes away from the operating system.
Right.
So make sure you get a dedicated video card, and don't spend a lot of money on it, because you're not going to be, unless you're going to be gaming, but that's something really important. That's kind of the most important stuff right there.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, make sure you go to a site that maybe take a look at their feedback and see what people are saying about their support and their delivery and any issues that arise. You can even go to HP. I think they configure now. You know, Dell's fine too.
When you say configure, what?
Meaning, so you choose the basic type of computer. Everyone's got different tiers. They have the low end, the mid, the high end. They have business systems. You know, you can get a home system. Just make sure it doesn't have the integrated video. And you can customize. That's what you want to do. When you find the basics model, you want to go to the customize section where you can actually look at each individual part and you can change the parts. And it'll tell you how much one part will add over another.
Uh-huh.
If you want to upgrade the video, it's going to cost you $50 more, that sort of thing.
Bruce, thank you very much for the call. I know it's kind of a complicated. You could also, just once you find the URL of the machine you're thinking about buying, you can send that URL to us. Go to geekspeak.org
and geekspeak.org
and we'll give you our 2 cents.
And I'll definitely give you a lot more feedback.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you much for the call.
Great, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, well, we even though we're taking a lot of calls, we are talking about ID Tech Camps, summer courses for kids ages 7 to 17. And we're speaking with the Vice President of Marketing, Karen Thurm Safran. She's in the room with me, and I feel a little like I'm being a bad host. So let me ask you another question about it seems to me that an experience for a 7 or 9 or whatever kid versus someone that's in their late teens and thinking about college is pretty different. Do you have programs that are really specific for teenagers?
Yes, we do. Thank you for asking because the experience is very different. And we have two programs that are teen specific, and we're very excited about one that we just introduced this year. It's called ID Gaming Academy, and that's at UC Berkeley. It's a 3-week intensive program, 2 different sessions, and it's very exciting because for 3 weeks these kids are going to just immerse themselves in the gaming world, and they're going to use program like Maya, and they're going to create a mini game portfolio which they'll have at the end of these 3 weeks. And of course it's going to be fun too. We're going to have late gaming tournaments and late instruction, you know. So that's one. And another one is that's a teen specific program is documentary filmmaking, a teen study abroad program in Spain. And that one is fascinating. This is our 4th year. I had the privilege of going last year to check it out. And it's great. These kids, we have 2 different sessions. For 2.5 weeks, they go to southern Spain. They are immersed in the culture. They live with a host family. They go to Spanish language classes. Then in the afternoon, they go ahead with our group and they sightsee around southern Spain with a Canon camera. Then they go in the lab in the evening and they learn how to make a movie using Final Cut Pro and Adobe After Effects. So at the end of the 2.5 weeks, they have a documentary of their trip.
Do you take 32-year-old men?
I want a program if you look young.
I want a program for older geeks. You should expand this.
I know. We do get a lot of parents asking. And
all right, I got to ask for the instructors for the Spain one. I want to do that. Can I be an instructor?
We actually are taking people who are applying right now.
I bet you have to be fluent in Spanish, Miles.
Who said I was fluent?
Okay. CC. There also are other teen courses if people didn't want to do like intensive courses like those. And these are at Stanford and other of the larger sites where we do have like game modding where you take Blizzard, Warcraft,
yep,
and you actually add your own levels and your own skins and characters. There's 3D character modeling using 3D Studio Max. There's an advanced video game, an advanced filmmaking course where you do special effects, and we even have a 3D game where you use Conatex 3D Game Studio and you create a 3D world that's very elaborate. So yes,
great.
We do have many teen courses, and we try to keep the teens together, or it's only teens in the programs I mentioned earlier.
Great, thank you so much. You're listening to Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell. In the air with me, Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam, Chris Dumphy, and that, of course, was Karen Thurm Safran, our guest today from ID Tech Camps. You can learn more about the program on our website, geekspeak.org. I want to take another call from Menlo Park, but not really from Carmel, I guess, but live in Menlo Park. David, welcome to Geek Speak.
That relates to my browser favorites. And what I'd like to know is there a way I can back these up in the event anything happens to my system in terms of a crash, etc.? And is there any way when I'm on the road and not using my computer that I can access my favorites? So there are 2 parts of the question.
Okay, well, your favorites, if you're talking about favorites, you're talking about Internet Explorer as your browser.
Right.
Because on the other machines, it's called on the browser, it's called bookmarks. So Internet Explorer favorites, exporting them. Windows users? Sean? exporting your favorites and saving them? And
in a corporate environment, you have the ability to have a common profile everywhere. All those items, all your personal preferences are kept in a shared server, but that's not really what we're talking about here.
Mr. Dunphy?
Well, if he wants to be able to access his bookmarks and his favorites when he's away from his computer, he should be using a site like Delicious that lets you keep your bookmarks on a website and access them from your home computer or from any other computer. And if you're they're backed up because they're on the server.
Is that delicious.com? Is that what
it is? It's actually kind of difficult. I'll spell it out for you. It's del.icio.us. That's the entire domain. So it's delicious, but with dots in it, and you'll never remember where the dots go, so you have to have it written down somewhere. It's del.icio.us, and I will put that on the website a little later today.
I appreciate that. May I ask one other question, please?
Yeah. You just did. Go ahead and
I can answer some more if you want. Okay. Exporting your favorites.
You know, it's from a security perspective, I guess. I use Internet Explorer, but I have other people that tell me you should be using Firefox because it has less potential for invasion. Can you enlighten me about that? I think it's called Firefox.
Well,
it is called Firefox.
Yeah, don't think of Firefox as being absolutely safe. Think of Internet Explorer as being horrendously
dangerous.
Okay.
That's really Firefox is a browser made by the Mozilla Foundation. It's basically a code base that came from Netscape years ago. And it has come into its own. It has a lot of really exciting features, tabbed browsing, integrated Google toolbar out of the box, extensions. So I highly recommend using it.
And it's much better for sharing your favorites.
And how do you get it?
You go to mozilla.com. M-O-Z-I-L-L... No, actually,
they have mozilla.com now.
So mozilla.com.
So in Internet Explorer, when you export your favorites, it puts them all into a folder, and they're all individual links. Oh, you know, what do you do with those? So what's nice about Firefox is you export to a single HTML file. So you can call that bookmarks.html. You can move that up to, if you have a website, you can move that up to your website, and then you could just access that, and you would see all of your bookmarks.
And
that's
to be
what
clear
I
about Delicious is a bookmarking system that all exists online, and your bookmarks by default are actually public. So as you add bookmarks, other people can see them. Now, you can actually set them to private as well, but it's really neat to be able to do that, and then other people, the friends of yours, can look at what you're bookmarking and go, and if you talk about a page, you only have one URL to give to somebody. You say, yeah, I went and saw this page that did blah, blah, blah. And then you just go look at my Delicious account, and then they can see your bookmarks
and
find that page.
How to get to Delicious.
Yeah, that's the only problem. And then Dr. Don just called in and said that myhq.com is a really interesting space that acts like a bookmark page. And again, that's myhq.com. And since Dr. Don's recommending it, I'm going to have to take a look at it very quick. And that's a free online bookmark manager. So it sounds like Dr. Don uses a lot of bookmarks. Maybe that's how she gets so smart. That's the recommendation I've got for you. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
All right, I think we lost one person, but I think we can go ahead and take Donna from Seaside. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi.
Hi. You'll be our last caller today, Donna. How do you feel about that?
I have a question about a G4 iBook that I bought from someone yesterday, and in trying to put my name in as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I was having trouble finding a place to do that. I got myself in as an administrator on the computer.
So you have an account on that machine that is an administrator account.
Well, that's what I was trying to do, but I couldn't get it. I couldn't get his name off. I mean, I thought it took my name, and then I thought, maybe I have to turn it off.
Okay, so it's not that complicated. So what you want to do is it's using OS X.
Yes.
Okay. So we want to do that. You're in the user preferences space. You make an admin account for yourself. And then somewhere in the bottom left, it's going to say something like auto login or something of that nature. Make sure it says auto login to the new account that you made. You can't delete that his account or that other person's account on the machine if you're logged in as that person. So you can do, you could just do this. Do a log out of the computer. So over on the Apple, you just go down to shutdown and then pick log out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's log out directly. And then you'll get prompted with a new screen. Remember that you just made a username and password?
Mm-hmm.
Log in with that. And then once you do that, you can go into admin and delete it. And that's as simple as that.
Okay.
Then I have one more question.
Well, Miles thinks that I'm wrong, and that's probably true, so let's let
Right, this is something that I came across when I bought my laptop, actually.
Okay.
It's not the username. There's actually a thing titling what the computer is called. And I, for the life of me, I'm trying to find where you change that, because I was looking for weeks, and then finally found it, and promptly forgot how to do it again, because I, you know, switched it. But when I, if you can send, or go to geekspeak.org,
mm-hmm.
and send a message to the geeks. I that way we'll have your email address.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be able to find that answer and email it back to you.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
And you also post it on site, right, Miles?
Sure.
Donna, okay. Do you have one more thing?
I was going to ask if I were to just reinstall the software that came with
that'll
the computer.
Do it. Yeah,
that
that'll do it.
Too.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck, Donna, with your new Mac. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, let's see. What else we got for today? A little bit of stuff from Coralitas Gordon. My Mac is usually in sleep mode, and it just takes just tapping any key to wake it up. Is there a keyboard shortcut to make it go to sleep instead of using a mouse in the menu? You can close it if it's a laptop. I don't know if it is, but if it's a laptop, you just close it and automatically goes to sleep. You don't have to tell it to go to sleep first. It'll detect that. If it's not a Mac, you can just push the power key on the machine, and it will ask you to go to sleep, and then you do a click. So that's still a click of the mouse button. And the last thing is use Quicksilver. Quicksilver is this amazing little application. I'll have to put a link on the site now. It enhances the Macintosh computer with a whole bunch of shortcuts and keystrokes, and it's just, I don't know, I think that Miles and Didi, our New York correspondent, and myself use it fanatically. Chris, have you joined the Quicksilver?
I've never seen Quicksilver. You have to show it to me.
Oh, you'll see it at lunch. All right.
And if you want to configure a PC, I use iBuyPower.
iBuyPower.
iBuyPower.com, and I use the AMD Best Buy as the base unit, and then configure from there. That would be my recommendation.
We have to really be better about putting all this content that we're talking about on our website, geekspeak.org, because we have the tools now to edit show pages, so it shouldn't be that hard.
Yep.
I've been making notes all during the show today, and we'll get one of these links up. It's an important thing to do. And, you know, KOSP is doing a lot of web stuff as well. We're getting a whole bunch of podcasts up. There's news on KOSP. I love the webmaster here. He's a friend of my father's. His name's Steve Laufer, and he's just a really wonderful man. He's always making the site a little bit better. And it's a pleasure to see someone really interested.
He's a true artist.
He is. And in any case, I will kind of tout the KOSP website. And, of course, you can find our website from kosp.org, because of course we're a nonprofit organization. Well, today we have been talking with, well, mostly we've been asking for the last half hour, I've been doing questions, Karen Thurm Safran, Vice President of Marketing for ID Tech Camps. And thank you very much, Karen, for being here today. Is there one more thing you wanted to plug about your programs?
No, I just want to thank you again, and I encourage everybody to go to the website at internaldrive.com, and we have lots of videos, testimonials, clips. It's amazing, and I just don't want people to think and stereotype the kids that go to this camp, because they're
not geeks.
They're not necessarily geeks.
Yeah, I guess
they're
not the
whizzes.
Crowd,
they're everyone.
I guess the teenage crowd hasn't gotten the whole geek is cool thing out of here.
Right.
See, we accept that we're actually kind of cool, and some of
go.
Us are even sexy.
I don't know
so.
About that.
No?
I
not
mean,
so much?
A while back we had geek houses in Santa Cruz where a bunch of people would get together and have wired access to the internet, but that's everyone now.
I thought we were through being cool. That's a song.
You know, we're working on a new song, actually. You know, when the song came on today, the through being cool, I realized, like, every time I get a guest on, you haven't heard the theme song. You don't know how
up.
Goofy and ridiculous we are. You
fun.
Start laughing. I'm like, all right, we got a guest. I can handle this. This is okay. Next week, we're going to be talking with MC Squared. They're a local tech company that does computer support and stuff. I want to get more involved in the local businesses that do geeky things and kind of tout them, because so much we get questions from people that are like, where do I take my broken computer? And, of course, I'd like to tell them something that's more than, I don't know, look around. So if you've got
we
a local
fix
business.
Our computers. Ourselves.
Yeah, if you've got a local business, please let us know what it is, and we'll set up a show and kind of talk about your business. The geeks this morning were Miles Elam, Chris Dunphy, Sean Cleveland, our guest Karen Thurm Safran, Vice President of Marketing for ID Tech Camps. You can learn all about it at our website, geekspeak.org. Geekspeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 SoCal Avenue, and online at SantaCruzElectronics.com. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Ardo, on the web at KUSP.org. For KUSP and GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxell.